Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're the thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what is up?
You know.
What is up, fellas?
Why do we have rain? Why are we getting sprinkles?
Ladies?
In damn near the middle of July?
Is it
Why?
Sprinkling?
Yeah, I got sprinkled on today. I wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, we did too.
I feel like it's that point in July where I'm saying enough's enough.
It's kind of
weird.
Summer
should be starting.
Summer should be here now. And it didn't rain, but you know what? The sprinkle, it was enough today to say no. Mother Nature, no. 2020 has been enough of a kick right in the junk. We don't need rain in the middle of July. Come on. Come on, planet Earth.
Today was like the worst kind because it spittled.
Yeah.
And it, like, there was nothing on the radar.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it was out of literally nowhere.
Sure. Well, I'm trying to stain. I sanded down the little patio off my bedroom, so I'm trying to stain the deck, but I need dry weather. And I haven't had like 3 or 4 dry days in a row in quite some time. And I was supposed to get it now. And then I woke up this morning. What's happening? Sprinkling? No.
It's all about you, man.
No, it was supposed to be dry. The weather app said it was going to be dry.
Well, it was a pretty dry day. I mean, let's not act like it rained. I mean, it just kind of.
Oh, we got. I don't know about.
I mean, it wasn't.
In Vancouver, I got rain. I'm not going to say
real, tangible, measurable rain.
Measurable.
On.
There was certainly
it was a
flurry. How about that?
Come on, man.
I wouldn't say showers. It was
But I agree with you
in the misting.
In a sense that our spring was delightful.
Yes.
And now our summer's like
Come on, summer.
Eh.
Let's crank this thing up.
It's
Let's
July
get the heat
9th.
Going.
It should be sunny.
Kenneth Copeland months ago said that the hot wind of the Lord was going to blow in. And it was going to burn this thing out, and we were going to have great weather, and I was going to get a tan, and I'm still waiting for it. Come on, Kenneth.
All right, guys.
COVID-19.
You know, every year we pick the song of the summer, and I read an article in Rolling Stone about, like, you know, what is going to be the song of the summer. I think we
already,
I think right there. Find me something that bangs as hard as COVID-19. I'm sorry, but I think the Kenneth Copeland Wind of God remix right now is the song of my summer.
I'm sure the older guys can confirm this. You younger guys, Sparkies, listen up. There will come a time when you have no idea. Okay, what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
Well,
what am I trying to say?
I
don't know.
Song of summer.
Yeah, you got to have the song of the summer.
There, for a lot of your life, you will know what the hot songs are and who sings them.
Oh, sure.
And then there will be a window where you will start to lose touch with that.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, mm-hmm. and I am in this realm now.
Yeah.
I've jumped into this third realm of you could look at the Billboard Top 40 or whatever.
Yeah. Hot 100.
Hot 100. And know not one artist,
yeah.
not one song. And that is a fact. That is a fact of life.
Yes. 100%. The only saving grace that I have.
So when I ask, what is the song of the summer? As if I have any clue what could possibly even be in contention.
Exactly. I could tell you that it was J.D. Power Associates and, you know, the Monster Mash.
Something
and,
tells me it's not Running on Empty by Jackson Brown.
And you'd be like, wow, yeah, I've heard that's really good. My kids are the only reason why that I still have some semblance of, I'm not going to say that I enjoy it, but I'm aware of what is and isn't popular because that's pretty much all they listen to. The kids.
The kids keep you up to date.
The kids do the Hot 40, whatever. So, like, when we were going down to the coast, I'm exposed. You know, there's only so much you can listen to dad's music. They'll humor me for maybe 20 minutes to 30 minutes.
Yeah, but don't you still hold on to that? Like, dad's music is great.
Yeah, well,
right? So they should think it's great.
Well, they do like
it. And it bothers you when they don't.
They like a lot of what I enjoy.
Oh, it's dad's music.
But
it's dad's music.
Usually about 30 minutes in, I get one of these from one of the kids in the back. Can you disconnect your phone? I'm hooking mine up. And then
isn't that disappointing?
And they work the DJ Roomba.
You're like, but the best is yet to come on this playlist. The Carpenters are just two spins away.
Yeah. No.
Kids?
No, but then they gotta they need Doja Cat. No, they can't handle the Carpenters.
What's that?
Is that
the band of the summer?
Well, it's a gal, but yeah.
Oh,
it's
she hot?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, she is.
Mike, do you know her? Mike doesn't even know her.
Never heard of her.
Oh. Well.
Doja Cat?
Again, it's kind of one of those where I can't claim that I have any sort of she's hot.
She kind of looks like Doja Cat. She looks like she's got a little Gaga to her. Maybe not. Am I wrong?
Well,
am I wrong, guys?
She's not white, so
no. But she's got kind of that wild style about her.
Yeah. So that's the only. I'm 100% with you that when you look at the songs that are popular, the only reason I know anything. And by the way, the only thing I know is their popular song because it's of what the kids play.
Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Gosh, she's got 7 million followers.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
And isn't it funny too how when you're old, they just like, she's probably been popular for several years.
I have no idea.
And you don't hear about them until down the road, you know, like Doja Cat. Oh, never heard of her. Yeah, just like been the biggest thing for
sure.
I mean, you don't just get 7 million followers overnight, right? Like
well,
she's
like,
been
like just last year, like I became aware of like Lizzo, right?
And
I'm sure.
Well, she popped last year.
I don't know. It's just like all of a sudden my kids are just listening to Lizzo, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm listening to Lizzo. And then you're right. She could have been popular for 12 years. She could have been popular for 6. But I don't know. Last summer was the first time I had ever heard of her, and now like she's everywhere.
We're so old. What is it about that? What is that? Didn't we do this one time where we were talking to somebody who's a music expert who said basically your brain is wired to only like you stop being interested in new music at a certain age or something?
I think there's something
like
to
the
that.
Stuff that you heard as a young person, just that's your stuff.
Sure. Like
and it's very hard to get out of that.
If you think back to it, because when you're a kid, like your music is always evolving, right? I remember when I was a young kid, it just, you transition through so much. I like the music I like, but you're right. The older you get, the number of bands or artists that really become, like favorites become like staples in your music diet, they do shrink less and less. Like I'll ask Mike Chemin this too. When's the last time you found an artist that became like a go-to for you?
Right.
Where it's if it's not in the top 10, it's right there. And on a regular basis, you just turn on their stuff.
I got to check my Spotify here.
Somewhat recently for me.
Yeah.
But my music intake is very, very different than normal people because
it's not mainstream.
Yeah, because I focus a lot on metal.
Oops.
So it's a lot of like stuff that's shared on websites or on Reddit and stuff like that. And I kind of find it that way. But I really became big into Caligula's Horse, which is a really like chill metal band.
Caligula's Horse, yeah.
Recently. I only discovered them a year or two ago. So I mean, but metal is constantly bringing out new bands, so I'm not really the best person to ask for that.
Okay, well.
You?
Fine. I'm looking here. Spandau Ballet count?
It does. I'm sure, you're Rob's Jackson Brown, James Taylor. Have you ever heard of this? Have you ever heard of this guy? He was in a band for a little bit. Paul Simon, is that?
Paul Simon, yeah.
Yeah, is he
like Paul McCartney?
Is he breaking? Is that?
Boy, there isn't a lot of new artists on here, man.
Yeah,
there
right?
just aren't. Yeah. We got Billie Eilish.
Oh, there you go.
I like her.
And that's fairly recent. Yeah. I remember a family member of mine wanting Billie Eilish tickets a number of years ago, and me thinking, whatever, how easy can that be? And then going into the promotions lady, she was playing at like the Crystal Ballroom or something. So they laughed and were like, yeah, good luck. Like that thing was sold out in like 10 minutes. I'm like, what? no idea now, like everyone knows Billie Eilish. So it's just, it's kind of a weird, it's the weird thing. The older you get, I think it's harder to penetrate because I can appreciate some of the stuff that I hear, like that my kids listen to. But it's more, I just, it all sounds the same to me. And it's more of a song. Like I'll pick out a song and I'll be like, oh, that's not a bad song, but I have no desire to go seek out that artist, but I can appreciate that song. Or like, I can think that Lizzo's talented. I'll hear a bunch of her stuff and I'm like, that's really good. Gaga was one of those for me. Like I was probably late to the Lady Gaga party, but when she started doing the stuff with Tony Bennett, that kind of wrote me in. And then I started listening to older Lady Gaga stuff. And now I think she's fantastic. I think that's kind of, everyone likes Lady Gaga now, but even the stuff when she was kind of way out there, I had never really heard of it. I was aware of her and I listened to Lady Gaga all the time. Another one for me was Taylor Swift. I actually like Taylor Swift. Like if that comes on in the car or my kids turn that on, I'll sing along. And same thing when she was doing the whole country thing and then first made the pop, you know, turn, couldn't have given a damn. And now I legitimately like her stuff.
I've got a college buddy who, if I golf with him, I just saw him recently. He lives in another city, but if his music comes on,
yeah,
it's his playlist literally from college.
Yeah.
Like he has not.
No.
It's like Dave Matthews Band, you know, Savage Garden.
Wow.
Just crap. Total crap.
Savage
Wait,
Garden.
I shouldn't say Dave Matthews Band is crap. They aren't.
No,
I like them.
But you know what.
But yeah. I haven't heard them in a long time.
Like if you say that like Jack Johnson is like your most like progressive new thing, yeah, you're an old man.
Yeah. It's the same. I swear to God, he has the same playlist from 1993.
Sure. My brother's that way. Like I don't
and
think
it's like there's not anything new on there.
No.
And there's really not.
No. My brother is 100%.
Nirvana
like that.
Comes on.
Yeah. And I like all that stuff. And that's most of the stuff that is my core, my favorites are all older bands where everyone's in their 40s or 50s or beyond, or even, you know, the Stones and classic rock stuff. But I'm grateful that I've got kids. I think my kids help my. I'm fearful if that I didn't have my kids around, I would morph into a little bit of that. Where you're just like, well, this is what I like, and nothing
I'll just
else.
Listen to this.
I'll just, why do I need to turn anything on? I'll just, you know, Queen, they, you know, their stuff's timeless. Just keep listening to Queen for the 17th straight hour.
All right. Hot music talk.
Yeah.
Right there.
And, of course, Caligula's horse. I mean, but that, yeah. Who isn't listening to Caligula's horse?
Of course.
I mean, that's, they're so talented.
All clean vocals. You guys might like it.
Sure I will, Mike.
I'll give it a run.
Well, if it doesn't have growling, then what the hell's the point? Where's the teen angst?
It sounds good.
That's how can I listen to it if I don't hate my father if there's not growling? What the hell?
Caligula's what?
Horse.
Mm. Horse.
Caligula's horse? What? What are you listening to?
Oh, you know what I'm listening to, baby.
By the way, the Swiftie, you mentioned Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That documentary on her is really good.
It is.
The one on Netflix, yeah. I think. It's called Miss America or Miss, is that what it is? Miss Americana.
Yeah.
You guys, it's actually really good.
She's great. She
And you'll like her.
I know.
I mean, sort of.
I watched it because of the kids and
Taylor Swift's great.
Came away a bigger
fan. We have to admit.
Yes.
She's great.
She's
a great role model.
And
she's a good artist.
She's really talented.
Yep.
And you don't get to where she's at without
That's
being
right.
talented.
That's
Again,
right.
it's not Caligula's horse. My favorite is every one of Mike's band's names are all going to be between the Buried and the Grave. What is the
Between the Buried and Me is my favorite band. They're fantastic.
Have you ever heard of Caligula's Balls?
Ah, oh, yes. Yes. That's the Caligula Horses cover band.
Yeah. B-side.
When you can't get the horse, then you get the balls.
They're no Doja Cat, but it's hard to keep up. You know, although I will say it's easier to keep up now than it used to be because when we were kids, way back in the day, it was just what was on the radio, right? Like now Spotify, they send you into these like vortexes of music that
it's fantastic.
It can be great. There's all these artists that you're like, wow.
Well, the
never knew that.
Well, it's fun too because you can do it for even like minor artists. One of my the last one that I would say that cracked my like top is the White Buffalo, and he's not like a huge guy, but I've talked about him on the show. And this was back when Oregon played at Ohio State in the first Rose Bowl.
Not Caligula's Taint.
I'm into more of the Caligula Gooch is more of my.
Caligula always wanted to touch your taint, Rose.
But my buddy turned me on to that.
Why would I even say that?
It's a little disturbing. But he became one of my absolute favorites. And even he has like now like a Spotify channel or whatever. And it's cool because you get a lot of like these outlaw country Americana. Like I found this guy just last week, Benjamin Todd. Never heard of him. But I was listening to the White Buffalo station and one of these Benjamin Todd songs came on and it was phenomenal. And then you go down a rabbit hole. You're like, well, going to Benjamin Todd, and you listen to him for, you know, a week straight. So it is really cool now that you can be exposed to a bunch of non-mainstream artists. You get a bunch of kind of the little guys who will never really make it big, but are putting out some of the best stuff. Because I think that stuff sometimes is way, way better than the top 40 or hot 100s.
Came across this new band. Have you heard of the Rembrandts?
The Rembrandts.
You ever heard of them?
No.
Came across them the other day.
No. Is there a lot of clapping involved?
With my Dave Matthews set that was playing. All right. Well, it's a bad day for college football. What's this?
Is this Caligula's Grundle? This is metal?
Sounds like gospel.
I was going to say, it sounds like Christian rock. Jesus is Lord.
The ladies love it.
What?
A little soft.
That's why I said it was really chill.
Is this for your heavy flow days or what?
It's for when I want to chill out a little bit.
I picture a lot of like smoke machines and billowy white curtains. Maybe some candles.
Caligula's
lit.
Balls.
Just
everybody.
A little example. They have a little heavier stuff too, but you know they're chill.
Jeez.
Well, why are you laughing? You like some crap too.
Caligula's,
not that that's crap.
Caligula's.
We all
grumble.
Like crap.
Yes, I figured you would appreciate that more than.
I appreciated it, Mike. I thought it was great.
I think I'd rather hear the oohs.
Is that a challenge?
I'm going to stick with Kanye.
Oh, yeah. Not a fan.
Kanye West?
Yeah.
You ever heard of him?
I have.
He does good stuff.
Yeah, not a fan.
Really?
No, I don't really like
his first
stuff.
Few albums are really good.
I think it's hard because he's such a taint.
He's running for president now.
Yeah.
See that?
No, he's not.
No, he's not. No.
Oh.
But I have a hard time with him. I struggle with
well,
that.
Well, he probably has a hard time with you.
I don't think he's aware.
He hates you.
He probably does.
Heard the shows.
Like, I don't think we'd get along.
Yeah?
No.
All right, well, guys, we got to go. It's a bad day for college football, and we'll explain why to start the show next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, one quick musical postscript here,
okay.
If I may, because we were talking music on the golf course the other day, and a friend of mine and I agreed, and I think you agree with this too, that when you go to live shows, one of the coolest things for me, and we agreed, was when an artist plays covers.
Yeah, one of my absolute favorites.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe it's taboo in the music world. I don't know. I'm not in the music world, although we are around music people here at the stations and stuff.
Not around the music world, even though I work for
we're
a radio
right in the
station.
Middle of radio, but there's nobody around. Like, I don't know.
That is true.
And we don't, it's not like we spend a ton of time with them anyway, but if it's taboo in music, but I think it would be way cooler if more artists played other artists' stuff. And I mean, put it down, like laid it down.
Oh,
dropped
like,
it
like
yo.
Chris Cornell style. Chris Cornell,
yeah, I think
did
it's cool.
And he made it his own. And
I love that. I love it when because they're all good.
Sure,
they're all great musicians mm-hmm. and artists. It's just kind of neat to hear. I just wish there were more crossover where bands would just take other band stuff as long as it was kosher and everybody agreed and everything.
Well, like live shows they do
I think
it.
It's cool.
Unfortunately. And then I may be talking out of my arse. I think one of the reasons that doesn't happen more is most of the acts now aren't doing their own stuff. So they really are doing other people's things. I mean, most of the top 40 artists now don't write their own music. It's all song written. And like you look at Album of the Year at Grammys, it's like 17 producers and how many different songwriters. And I think there's some of that where really talented people, I just think they're few and far between. And so maybe there's something like that, but I'm with you. I love going to see shows, and especially when it's completely out of their genre. Yeah. I think that's great.
Weezer did a covers album, mm-hmm. and it's great.
Yeah.
I wish more bands would do that.
Like I said, when Chris Cornell did his solo stuff, the Soundgarden lead singer, he did a ton of that, and I loved it.
That would help people cross over into different genres, you know?
Well, like someone said, the Foo Fighters do this a ton. Zach Brown Band, country, I don't even think they're a country band. They're more rock and roll than they are country, but it is a really, really talented group of musicians. And if you go see Zach Brown play live, great live band. They do all kinds of stuff. You'll get everything. I've heard him do Smokey Robinson. I've heard him do a Metallica cover. I've heard him do Devil Went Down to Georgia with no fiddle. It's really fun to hear their take on different things.
What about Caligula's boobs?
Yes, I prefer Caligula's schmegma myself. But, you know, again, it's all just personal taste. You know, whatever.
All right, guys, bad news, college football today. It's the subject of our AAA heating and cooling poll question at 1080thefan.com. Family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. Oregon, Ohio State is off.
Well, it's not canceled. It's just like everything else. It's been postponed.
It's off.
They're working on rescheduling that.
So vote. Good. Wanted that game during a normal year anyway, or sucks. Oregon's D is legit.
Can you please go ahead and just mark that?
Defense.
Thank you.
Defense.
Lynch is not paying any attention to us whatsoever.
He's talking to Sam in there.
Yeah, he's completely
sorry. Out.
There's big time conversations going on in there.
They're talking about
Sam. You should come in. You want to
talk
sports with us?
They're talking about Caligula's testes right now. Like it's.
She doesn't want to talk sports with us. She's a big Duck fan, right? Yeah.
I for one, I'm glad that this has been postponed. I didn't want this game to happen in this sort of circumstance. Plus,
so you would vote for the first answer on the poll question.
I do. And I didn't expect this game to go down. But
by the way, 64% say sucks.
Really?
They want to play it.
Well, I just think if you're playing a game like Ohio State, as long as you tell me that it's going to get played, and I do believe it's going to get played. Rob Mullins came out and said he appreciated Gene Smith calling him, and they said they're going to work together and they're going to try to reschedule this. And if you do that within 2 years, because next year, assuming that things go back to normal, you're going to the Shoe, I just don't want 2021 to be at Ohio State and then 2031 for them to come back to our place. It needs to be within 2 or 3 years, and I'm 100% on board because that environment, college football has so few games. I mean, it's kind of the ugly secret of college football, but most college football games suck. They're not fun. Like if you told me if you're an Oregon or you're a UW fan or whatever big conference team you have, Ohio State, Texas, Florida State, whatever, Clemson, how many games on your schedule, in all honesty, are actually games that you would be excited to see unless you're just a diehard and you don't care and you just want to go down, right? When you've reached a certain level, you've got two, maybe three games. And when you get an opportunity to play one of the true blue bloods in sport, when you get Ohio State, which is one of the five greatest programs of all time, if you want to go back over the last 20 years, they're probably one of the three best programs, right? That is everything you could want. And so to have that where you can't tailgate, you can't have fans, there's no environment there, there's no home field advantage. No, I don't want that. Even if you said that, we're going to get that game in, to me, you're still missing out on an opportunity to experience, to me, the best thing going in college sports, and that is a big-time blue blood coming to your place, College Game Day maybe being there, tailgating since 9 in the morning or 6 in the morning, depending on where the game is, going out with your buddies, and then packing that place with 60,000-plus and screaming your head off and seeing if you can take down the champs. Like, that's what college football is. And so, no, I do not want some cheapened half-assed version of that. Delay the thing and get it in when you can.
Okay, well, the reason it's off is because, as we alluded to yesterday, it has become official today. The Big Ten is going conference only for their schedule for all fall sports.
Yeah.
And forgive me, but I thought there were more fall sports, but there aren't.
There are not.
It's really not that many. This applies to, in the Big Ten, this applies to football, field hockey, men's and women's cross country, men's and women's soccer, and women's Valley Bale.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Big Ten did this. The ACC is going to do this.
Well, so is the Pac-12.
And yeah, exactly.
This is the way it's going to be.
This is what's happening. They're going to have no conference or no non-conference games. You'll probably go to a 10-game conference schedule universally across the board. And, you know, hopefully we have some form of playoff that you can get in. But honestly, at this point, I'm not even confident that you're going to get in a conference schedule. And you can plan all you want to have a full conference slate, but I guarantee at some point some teams are going to have to bow out due to COVID, and hopefully you can just get some semblance of a season in. But all this talk of leading up to this was college football. Like, oh, we'll get in. We're going to start on time. No big deal. Oh no, we're going to have fans. And now we're like, well, we're not going to play non-conference games, but we're going to play in conference. We're going to play a full slate. The goalposts keep moving.
Well, yeah.
And let's just hope that they don't move anymore. They're the Darth Vader
right
now.
They will.
They're pulling the, pray I don't alter our agreement any further.
Well, this just feels like a precursor, but maybe it won't be. Maybe they will get it in. Who knows? But there are so many questions now. So, and when we come back, we'll address these. What happens to the non-conference games that will not be played? What happens to Oregon, Ohio State? What happens to Washington, Michigan? What happens to Notre Dame? What happens to BYU?
Well, I think there is the big question to me, the biggest question in all this is what happens to the small guys?
And then the little guy.
I think it's the thing that no one
needs those non-conference games for the monies.
It is, I think, what happened to minor league baseball. I think you are on the cusp of having that happen to small-time college football, and they may never recover.
All right, so we'll get to all that coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, this is awkward. Got a big, hot college football conversation going on, and Tim Taylor sitting in here with some weird mask on his face.
A masked Tim Taylor has come in for seemingly no reason, and he's not leaving.
Tim Taylor, 99.5 The Wolf.
Ow! In his wolf mask. They've got their own mask.
What are you
mask.
Doing? Are you wanting to promote that? Is that what you want to do?
No.
What are you doing in here?
I don't know. I felt safe coming in here because I have a mask now.
Get out of here.
Okay.
I love you.
Come back later with your bedazzled jeans.
Yes.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah.
It's good to be seen. So the wolf is making their own...
Their own masks.
Corona masks.
Yeah, and it's in the...
Yeah.
And it's in the shape of a wolf's mouth.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, the reverse side is a dog.
Yeah, but they kind of screwed it up because you can't see the wolf logo.
Well, it's all on the side.
Should I report that?
Yeah, you can see it. It's on the side.
Yeah, you kind of can't. if it's meant for marketing, it's...
Hey, look, either way, right? Hey, we don't have...
Listen to the wolf. They play country.
I don't have fan masks. Although, to be honest...
That is true.
I wouldn't wear a fan mask.
I wouldn't either.
No. That's more of a Swigard thing. I can see him doing that.
We'll leave you alone in that regard.
Yeah.
We don't hit you with the marketing like that.
No, you just wear your own.
We don't even have keychains. You remember when sports stations used to have
T-shirts
and keychains. Hats.
Not anymore. Someone made us, or maybe you made them.
Tough times. Cut from the budget.
We used to have like Isaac and Suker awesome shirts.
Well, that was because that was the make your own T-shirts.
Oh yeah,
remember we did a deal with them.
Yeah, we did a deal with them.
We had
a handful. We had like 10. Yeah. Isaac and Suk.
One of 10.
Yeah, Isaac and Suk equal awesome.
I had one for a while. I don't know what I did with it.
I don't know. Whatever.
I think I gave it to Goodwill.
I'm not certain. Is someone out there? Do you think someone's in?
Someone's
Goodwill?
Probably got it.
Just flipping through.
This
there.
Shirt's great.
It's like what?
Who are these guys? I don't know.
There was a guy. About 2-3 years ago, my mom had a big garage sale at her place, and I sold a bunch of my stuff. Like, I just had a bunch of clothes, and I put it out, and some dude came by, and he was losing his ass. This bigger guy, he's like, what? And he bought everything. He bought everything that I had put out on the table. And now I see him around my neighborhood, and it's kind of weird because he's in all my stuff, and it's all the time.
That is odd.
It is a bit strange that I see him probably 5-6 times a month cruising around, and it's always in one of my old things, and I never, it's strange.
Do you remember our very sexist fangirl calendar that we used to have?
I do.
That we're now ashamed of?
Yeah, there might have been lawsuits, and, you know, we don't want to get
into it.
There
were not. It was just, eventually it kind of became, you know, it's like, eh.
Yeah, it just, it vanished. Yeah, for a while there.
It's like cheerleaders, you know?
Yeah, for a while there we had hot chicks.
Yeah, a lot of them.
That's been cut from the budget.
Yeah, they don't have money for that anymore. No. Got to pay Mike.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe
well,
we should make Mike pose in his
Caligula's balls T-shirt. Yeah.
Do you have a Caligula's Taint t-shirt, Mike? Can you wear that in?
I do not have one, no.
Oh, okay.
They're a band from Australia, so I don't think they do a lot of like American sales.
Okay, so where were we? Ohio State, Oregon off. Washington,
Michigan
off. Yeah. They're all going to go to conference-only schedules. Big Ten is the first to announce it. Sounds like the Pac-12 is right behind them.
Well, I think the ACC is.
And so then, of course, the Big 12 is. And sure. I mean, of course, this is what they're going to do at the very least. I just feel like this is the start of all the shifting and changing.
Yeah, the Big 12 Commissioner Bowlesby came out and said that he thought it was too early to make that call. But he said, we may be different. Give it time, buddy. You're down in Texas. Yeah, something tells me you're going to be delaying some stuff.
Well, they could skip a few cuts if they just wait and then just jump all the way to, we're only playing three games.
We're going to be fine. But essentially what you're doing is with this is you're just pushing back the season by a couple of weeks. I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, your first couple games usually aren't conference. I mean, occasionally, I know in the Pac-12, we had some early conference games, but usually get your non-conference out of the way and then you move into this. This just kind of delays the start and gives everyone a little more breathing room. But honestly, at this point, if you're a college football fan, just be happy that you're going to, in theory, get 10 games.
No, but you're not, though.
I don't think so, but yeah, it's fun to think about. Hey, this may be... this may be turning the tide, even though Texas had its first triple-digit death day since this whole thing started.
But. I guess I get it, but I kind of don't in a sense of, like, why is it so much safer to play just conference games? You know what I mean? I guess it cuts out some of the...
Well, it cuts out some of the expenditures, too.
The travel.
Well, it cuts out some of the travel, but you get for all these games, there's payouts. So, if you're a school right now and you're looking, when you talking about non-conference games, someone is always paying someone to travel.
Yeah. So all of that just gets cleaned up. You just wipe it off the books.
It delays and the start. Big schools, it saves you some money.
The big schools can handle it because, they just don't have to pay Idaho State or whatever. But they also don't get the big money from like USC, Alabama. We're both going to, I think, Texas to play.
Yeah.
And they don't get those big payouts.
Yeah. So for just to put it in perspective, most of the neutral site games, right? Those are usually somewhere in the $3.5 million range that each school gets guaranteed, for Oregon and Auburn. That's why you play those. And that's why you play them at neutral site games. Now, normally when you're talking about a big home and away, Oregon, Ohio State, that's usually somewhere in the $1 million to $1.5 million range that the home team has to pay out to the visitor. And then it's usually reciprocated, right? When you're going the other way. And then when you're a road apple, when you're Bowling Green or Texas State or whoever, some of those paydays now have become $2 million. You know, and again, you're usually talking about somewhere in the $1 million to $2 million range, but those small schools play three of those. And so let's say you're pulling in $4.5, $5, $6 million. That makes up the big bulk of your expenses for the year. So those little schools that are not going to be able to have these games anymore, the effect on them is going to be absolutely devastating because already their budgets are slashed and there's going to be no game revenue because you're not going to be able to have fans. I really think that you are on the verge of a mass extinction of small football programs. I just think that you're going to have some that are not going to recover for this, or maybe you'd have to pull a Alabama Birmingham. Remember, they shut down for a little bit and then came back. I just don't think that you are going to be able to survive.
Well, okay. There's just so many different little tentacles.
Yeah, nuances here.
The Big Ten is basically saying a conference-only schedule also allows them to pivot a little better when things change, and they inevitably will.
Sure.
Whether it be better or worse. So I guess I get that. And when you bring in the financials of that, it cleans things up, makes it a little bit more manageable because you are going to have to be a little bit more nimble as this thing constantly changes. But on the subject that you're discussing, there is already some debate as to whether or not the big schools will have to pay those non-conference payouts.
Yeah.
Anyway, because they're guaranteed. And the Gene Smith types, and I think it was Gene Smith that was quoted, he's the AD at Ohio State, basically said, look, on those, because they're technically guaranteed payouts, it's like if you will play this game, you will pay us, and if not, you will pay us.
Yeah.
Type of language in these contracts for these small schools versus big schools. And Gene Smith basically said, somebody asked him about that, and he basically said, look, that's going to be up to the attorneys.
Yeah. Well, basically, so they're going to try to do the act of, most of these places are going to have insurance clauses, and they're going to do the act of God.
This is going to go to, this could go to court.
Yes.
So it could be really ugly, where these small schools are saying, look, you signed up to play us, you're not playing us, we want our money.
We didn't cancel it, you canceled
it. And they're saying, well, we're not going to pay you, and it's just lawyers, and it's just bad.
Well, this is what we've talked about, this, like, with why everything gets delayed, right? No one ever wants to say something's canceled. I was talking to my buddy who's in the music business, and he was talking to me about this. He runs one of the local venues around here, and he said the reason why nothing gets canceled, it only gets delayed because whoever cancels it usually ends up being on the hook.
Yeah.
So if there's a guaranteed payout and the artist cancels it, hey, I'm not responsible for that. But if the venue cancels it, the artist is like, hey, you canceled the gig, I want my guaranteed money. So neither side wants to say they canceled. This right here is the Big Ten saying, we're not playing. These games are canceled. Right. So you better believe those little schools who desperately need this money are going to come calling for it. By the way, I looked it up. Would you care to guess?
Seven.
The total payouts for the 2020 non-conference games across Division I football this year.
All of them
all
combined?
All of them.
Oh, gosh. Probably $75
million? $200-plus million.
Oof.
So that money, if we go to this where, and look, it's going to happen, right? The Big Ten has decided this. The ACC is doing it. Sounds like the Pac-12. The Big 12 will eventually follow. You are talking about $200 million out the window that can't be recovered. And look, it's going to be devastating for the smaller, for every program, but for the small ones, even the small Power Fives are going to really be hurt by this. But you even get to the Mountain West and places like that, those TV deals that they sign, some of those are only worth $1 million, maybe $2 million a year in TV money. So much of this is gate and these sorts of games. Like BYU needs these games.
They're just going to have to survive for a year.
And I don't know. I honestly don't know how. I don't know how.
Some will, some won't.
Some will, some won't. There will be, if this is true and there is no non-conference games or you end up not playing part of the season, I just think next year the landscape looks a whole lot different when they come back.
It is interesting, too. Somebody asked about the SEC. Haven't heard a peep from them.
No.
About this.
No. So that's the Big Ten did. The ACC supposedly is about to make an announcement anytime. There's rumblings that the Pac-12 will follow suit. The Big 12 has said that it's a little too early. they're waiting. And no, I have not heard anything about the SEC. And if there is a group that's going to wait longer than anyone, it will be the SEC.
And here's a text that says, but will there be any difference in this pandemic between September 1 and October 1 when non-conference games are played?
No one knows.
Well, I think that's the whole thing here. It's just like, why are you saying this now? Like, you don't know. I guess two things. Like, you brought it up. One of the reasons they're doing this now is to save the paydays for the non-conference games and the travel, and yep. Just it's just really convoluted when you're going cross-conference. Interconference after October, one, it buys you a month,
yep.
And two, it's just easier to pivot when things continue to change because these games are closer. You have more weeks to kind of, I don't know, just be nimble,
yep.
I guess, as opposed to being tied down to flying, for example, Ohio State all the way out to Autzen Stadium. So, it's an excellent question. It's kind of like, well, why?
Well, again, follow
what
me.
Is safer about non-conference? But I there are little things that you don't think about for the reasoning to do this.
Well, and the easiest one is, you know, what if there's a treatment or what if there's a vaccine? Every day buys you a little bit of time towards that. But to your point about being nimble, so follow me on this. If you're the Big Ten and you're only playing conference games, right, and you get to a situation where you've got a real situation happening over the course of a week when you're just dealing with conference teams, it's way easier to move games and to find open slots. We see this every year when a game has to get canceled because of a hurricane or whatever. When you look at a schedule and you say, well, how do we get this in? We don't have a bye week that week, and you don't have it when you're dealing with conferences, rescheduling if you have to punt. And I can even see a situation where a conference shuts down for an entire week or two. If you get three or four teams that are battling a COVID crisis, wouldn't shock me if the Pac-12 just said, okay, We're taking weeks 4 and 5. We're going to punt those, and we're going to move them to the back half of the year. And there you go. Schedule stays the same. And you can't do that with non-conference games. You get into a whole mess when comes to scheduling.
So that's why they're doing it. The next question is, what happens to the non-conference games that won't be played, i.e. Oregon, Ohio State, Washington, Michigan? Will they just go away? Will they be rescheduled? We'll discuss that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, we now know how much Zion Williamson went for.
Oh, yeah. Is it more or less than Cam Newton?
More.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think Cam was, you know, Cam
250?
Cam was a bargain.
250?
Cam brought a Heisman Trophy and a national championship, for 250.
250K?
250K.
At least, Zion's more.
At least that's what he asked from Mississippi State, and then they said no.
Right. Could have been more.
And Auburn was like, yeah. And
no,
went
this,
to the church fund, though.
Right. This came out in court filings today. Yeah. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, he's part of that, the whole pay-for-play thing.
Yeah. So college football is going to look different. We may not even have it, but right now we're pretending that they're going to do conference-only schedules, and the Big Ten was the first to announce that, which means Washington, Michigan is off, Ohio State, Oregon is off.
Yeah,
okay.
They said this was their official statement. It said, by limiting competition to the Big Ten institutions, the conference will have the greatest flexibility to adjust its own operations throughout the season.
And that makes sense.
And make quick decisions in real time based on the current evolving medical advice.
Okay. What happens to Oregon, Ohio State, and Washington, Michigan, and all the other non-conference games that don't get played?
Well, I mean, technically, they just disappear. I mean, they're not guaranteed to get played. Now, Rob Mullins came out and said that he got a call from Gene Smith and said that they are in continued talks to try to find a way to get this rescheduled.
Good.
So, and if it doesn't get rescheduled, then, you know, if you're Oregon, you could make the decision to then pull out of your game. Mm. And say, we're just not doing this.
You mean the one in Columbus?
The one in Columbus next year. Because as of right now, that game is still scheduled. This doesn't have any bearing on that. But if Ohio State isn't willing to be flexible and help out, I'm sure Oregon isn't just going to be like, well, we're not just going to come to your place.
Yeah.
This is a home and home. So I would assume that these big games for Ohio State and Oregon and Michigan and Washington, these are games that both sides want to do. It's why it's a home and home. And I got to believe that they will find a way because, again, they're big money exposure games. These will find a way to be rescheduled. Now, it can be a bit tricky with finding an open year, but remember, none of these schedules are set in stone. They can all be moved. And so it's just a matter of trying to find one that is that's a good fit as far as having an open date or eliminating one of the other games in your schedule and moving this in.
This goes back to what you were talking about, the G5s. Like, Oregon, so I'm looking at their future schedules.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, they book these damn things
years and years out.
So far out. Okay, so
I don't think Oregon has an open date until, like, 2027.
They do not. That's exactly right. I was just looking at it. So Oregon is going to have to cancel somebody in non-conference if they want to put Ohio State on their schedule. So let me just walk you through this. Okay, so North Dakota State, Ohio State, and Hawaii are all now not going to be played, assuming the Pac-12 does the same thing.
Yeah, and in by all accounts, it sounds like the Pac-12 is having these discussions.
That North Dakota State game, that being off kind of sucks too. Hawaii, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Hawaii's like, damn it, that was a big game for them.
Sure.
So next year is Fresno State and Stony Brook at home, and then you're playing the game at Columbus.
Yeah.
The year after that, Georgia, they're playing that game in Atlanta, and then Eastern Washington and BYU at home. So again, to your point about the G5s, right there, you could call Eastern Washington and say, well, but they probably won't because they don't want to play Georgia and Ohio State back to back.
Wouldn't think so.
Right? So you want to look for it where it slots in maybe one year where you have a weaker non-conference schedule. So 2023, Portland State at Texas Tech and then home against Hawaii.
I could see Portland State or Hawaii, one of those.
You might cancel the home and home with Hawaii.
Yeah.
You might say, both Hawaii games were at Autzen. Sorry.
Yeah.
So you could cancel those two games. That way this one goes away.
What year was the...
That's 23.
Okay.
And then you have, in 2023, you'd have Portland State at Texas Tech and then home against Ohio State.
And Ohio State in 2023...
Who do they have?
Well, Ohio State has two open dates in 2024 that they could slot in, but they're already at Washington that year. They're not coming back here twice. They're not.
Yeah,
going
they
to,
wouldn't do that.
They're not
no
doing
way.
It. So 2024 okay. is out.
So that's out.
2023, they've got San Jose State, Western Kentucky.
There you go.
And at Notre Dame. So
there you go.
That's the one. 2023.
Try to slide it in there.
I'll bet you that 2023 season here, they will find a way to look at that and say that's the one.
2024 for Oregon is Idaho, Texas Tech, both at home. Boise State also at home, and then they get that 13th game. They play at Hawaii.
Yeah, see, that would be an ideal fit.
Right there, yeah.
Because Ohio State has open dates, but I don't believe that Ohio State is willing to get on an airplane in the first month of the season twice
no
and
way.
Fly out to the West Coast.
No way.
Not going to happen.
25 is Montana State, Oklahoma State, and then at Boise State.
Same type of thing in 26. Ohio State already has Texas, Washington, UConn. They're not bumping Texas or Washington, and they're not playing Texas, Washington, and Oregon in the non-conference.
So then in 27, you're at Baylor, you host Utah State, and you have an open date. What does Ohio State have in 27?
There's an open date. They've got an open one, but mm-hmm. they already play Boston College and Alabama. And again, Oof. Ohio State's not going to put Alabama, Boston College, and Oregon on the non-conference.
Oof.
It's not going right. to happen.
So let's look
2023
at that. 2023
is the year.
Yeah. As maybe, but who knows what they're thinking.
Sure.
You know, they may just cancel it.
It's possible.
And then if they cancel it, does Oregon, like you say, does Oregon go play at Columbus as yeah. a one-off?
Would you
want them to?
I would imagine no. If Ohio,
I still want them to go, but I totally get why they wouldn't.
Well, it's a disrespect thing. Yeah. Oregon's reached a level in their program where they shouldn't be playing one-offs going to that. I mean, it's not a slight. It's just where your program's at. Oregon State and Washington State and, I don't know, the Arizonas of the world, I get it. If you want to go play Ohio State, they're not coming back to your place. If you want to play, and Washington State's done this. Washington State's gone and played in the shoe. Utah's done this. If you want to go play, for the most part, you're going to have to accept the fact that it's going to be a one-way trip. I don't think Oregon, SC, Washington, USC, I don't think that those programs are going to be okay with a one-off at their place.
That sucks. Really wanted to see that game happen at Autzen. Hopefully it still will.
Yeah, because again, that was my, I'm glad this is being delayed because I stand, but now
there's a chance it's off.
I know, but I stand by my argument that the best thing about college football is getting one of the big boys to come to your place in the environment that would be, and it would be an absolute just scroogey to have that game at Autzen Stadium with no fans, no tailgating, no environment. It's just that's not what these games are for. I wouldn't want to see that.
A scroogey.
It is a scroogey. I was going to say something else, but you know,
screw job.
Well, you gotta.
Oh, you can't say
no,
that.
No.
Can you gonna, not say that on the radio?
I think you can say that. I was. My first like four things that came to my mind were all
1, 2, 3, 4.
They were all bad.
All right. Okay. So next question.
Or this is another one too. That's a valid point here. Real quick before you move on, if you can't find a way to get to the shoe, right? If Ohio State can't come back to Autzen Stadium, mm-hmm. move it out of the horseshoe and move it to a neutral site in one of the new arenas.
Yeah, you could do that. I'd still like to see those home and home.
I would too. But if you can't find a way to make it coming back to Autzen Stadium in the near future,
move it to Vegas,
move it to the Rams new stadium in LA and play it there. And both sides will make a buttload of money. That'll be a $4.5 million payday for each school to go play in one of those new places. If you can't make the home and home work, do that.
Next, what happens to Notre Dame, BYU? They're independent. They play independent schedules.
Yep.
What happens to them? And what does this look like for any sort of setup for a playoff? So much questions.
Notre Dame's got a better option. BYU may be in a lot of trouble.
4 o'clock on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.